Scripture comes from Psalms 95th chapter 1 through 7th verse. It says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care."
I want to share with you the subject, Thanksgiving. Now, I know it's not Thanksgiving yet. It ought to be Thanksgiving year-round. We think of Thanksgiving, though, as a time for family gatherings. Those of us who like football, it's not everybody, think of that. We think of apple pie and pumpkin pie, you know, that Thanksgiving, traditional Thanksgiving food, sweet potato pie, there you go. But do we really stop and think what Thanksgiving means? I've done a little research on the subject of Thanksgiving, how it came to be observed in our country, And it's been traditional, actually, since the time of our, I suppose, when the pilgrims came, kind of like the story that we've all heard in school. But it didn't become an official holiday until Abraham Lincoln declared it, I think in the year 1863. But what does Thanksgiving mean? Well, just stop and think about it. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? It means giving of thanks. And how can you give thanks without living thanks? I suppose you can say the words, but without thanksgiving, there's not really true thanksgiving. I think you would agree. Well, how do we learn, or here we learn, actually, how to give thanks? Psalm 95. Well, there are many psalms in the Bible. There are many psalms, but many passages in the Bible that teach us and admonish us to give thanks. But what does it mean? How do we do it? Well, we give thanks, and I want to suggest three things here. We live thanks by, first of all, having thankful purpose. Having a thankful purpose. Now, without a thankful purpose, we're not thankful people. We're going to be complainers. We're going to be grumbling, as I know I'm prone to do, and maybe you are. I think we ought to have, I've said this before, you probably heard me say it, I think we need a day a year called Grumble Day, and we ought to get all the grumbling out of our system, and then we ought to go back to living thanks, and to giving thanks, which means living thanks. So we need to have a thankful purpose in order to be thankful. Well, we certainly do. We like to sing that song, Count Our Blessings, Name Them One by One. Well, certainly we're thankful for all of the material blessings, the blessings of family. All of these things are good. Food. Now, we may overindulge, but food is a gift of God. And I believe that we ought to celebrate God's good gifts to us. But above all, we ought to celebrate God Himself. And that's what we do, or try to do, when we meet together for worship, we call it, because we need that expression of thanks that comes from a thankful purpose. Well, I want to suggest that to give thanks, or having a thankful purpose, means to give thanks to and for our God. Here it says, if you look here at the passage here, it talks a lot about God, doesn't it? It says in verse 3, "For the Lord is the great God." Even before that, in verse 1, it said, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." So obviously the thanks there is addressed to the Lord. And we certainly ought to give thanks to Him. Thanks is due. We ought to give thanks to one another because we need one another, and we benefit from our fellowship with one another. But above all, we ought to give thanks to our God. He is a great God. Notice what it says here. The Lord is the great God in verse 3. And I think that suggests the idea that God is all-powerful. Doesn't the Bible say that with Him all things are possible? Now, isn't that something to be thankful for? That we have a God who is not only a great God, but He's a good God. Now, there are people who worship a great God, but He's not a good God because He's a God of vengeance, a God of anger, not a God of love like the Bible describes our God. But He is a great God, and there's nothing too hard for Him. So we can take to Him all of our problems and know that He is sufficient. He's also the King of Kings. Here it says He's the great King above all gods. Now, I think that really refers to Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is described in His second coming as having on His vesture or His garment, on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You may remember 6 years ago we had a hung election. I don't know whether that's happened before in our history, but we almost had a hung election. And almost, it did, I think, go finally to the Supreme Court, and then it was decided, and of course everything seemed to be all right, but we know it's not really a good thing to have a nation that's divided. Well, there's going to be no division if we will all recognize Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So He's our ruler. We need that ruler in our life. We need somebody to tell us what to do. Not our wife or our husband if you're married, but not the politicians primarily, although we are certainly commanded in Scripture to submit to our authorities over us. But above all, He is the King of Kings. And we ought to be thankful that we have a loving Savior who is the King of Kings. He's also the mighty Creator. Here it talks about how the depths of the earth are His and the mountain peaks belong to Him. Those Warners over there, how beautiful they are. And is that where they are? I think over there. Always get turned around. Ever since we moved to the... I hope so. I saw. Hey, that looks pretty, doesn't it? Yeah, we enjoy God's creation here in Alturas in this area. We're blessed. But I started to say we came from the old country back east, Illinois. Ever since we moved out here we moved to L.A. first, which some would say is not the best place to move in California. That's why we're up here, right? Amen. and not down there. But ever since then, ever since we moved here, I've had my directions mixed up. I want to say west is east and east is west for some reason. Some would say I'm just reaching that point in my life where I'm constantly confused. That may be true. We enjoy God's creation, don't we? He's the mighty creator. He's our provider. If he created all things, can he not take care of us? Again, we have this thankful purpose. He's a great God. He's a King of kings. He's a mighty creator. He's also our good shepherd. Here it says, we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So he is our shepherd. He's our guide. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you can say that, and you really have to say it in faith, not a blind faith because you know who you're putting that faith in, but nevertheless, we say when we belong to him, he's our shepherd and we will not want. Whatever it is in your life that you want, now not necessarily what you desire, but what you really need, he will provide. Now, he may not always provide the way we would like for him to, but he is our good shepherd, and we ought to be thankful that we have a wonderful good shepherd like our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, we live thanks by doing a thankful practice. Notice here how the psalm begins. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and psalm. I want to suggest that, first of all, we do a thankful practice by seeking him in worship. We ought to seek him because the Bible says that if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And so if you really are thankful for what God has done to you, then you ought to seek him in his tabernacle, in the place where he meets. And Jesus, didn't he say that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? So we don't necessarily need to have 100. I wish we had 100, but pray about it. God's going to give us 100 one of these days, very soon. We had 51 the other Sunday. Praise God. But we can do much more, and God can do much more than we even think. Well, we need that fellowship with one another. We need that time where we gather together and we draw strength from one another, and as we have that common bond of love and faith in Jesus, we'll grow stronger. I think that's the reason why there are so many sad, complaining Christians. They start the day apparently with a glass of prune juice. And they just have that kind of puckered look all through their days. Now, I'm not denying that there are tears to be shed and there are trials. But think of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. One of the things I like about I like a lot of things about the movie The Passion of the Christ. I think it's the best movie on the life of Christ ever made. But I love the fact that as he is going to the cross, he goes to the cross with joy because he knows what's on the other side. And he knew that he was fulfilling the Father's purpose. Well, in that thankful practice, there's a singing. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to object and say, well, God hasn't blessed me with a singing voice, so I let other people do the singing. But I don't really think it's optional. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord? And then some would object and say, well, I know so-and-so, and that's where they ought to keep it. Keep it in their heart, but don't let it out. But I believe if you have it in your heart, you're going to let it out. Amen. And you're not going to care if you offend people because your singing is an offering of worship to the Lord. I really believe that to the Lord, that singing voice that we would say is terrible, but is sincere in love and worship of the Lord. It's music to his ears. That's what he wants. He wants your love. He wants your adoration. So there's a singing. There's also a shouting here. Doesn't it say make a joyful noise? Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. I wish we would get more in the mode of the shouting mode and less in the mode of just, you know, being silent. And I know there's a time to be silent. The Bible does say, be still and know that I'm God. But it also says to shout aloud to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. When we had the Vacation Bible School kids here, you know, we had the doors open and the windows open, and Betty was here, and of course Mikey, and a lot of you were here helping with the Vacation Bible School. And so we had the kids. I told them, I want people downtown to hear us. God wants that. He wants us to shout to him. So, boy, they outdid all of you, I'd have to say that. And even on a good day, when we might have more people, why, they put you to shame. Because they're not ashamed to shout aloud their love for Jesus. And we ought to do that. Now, some of you are sports fans. You like the 49ers, or you hate the 49ers. as the case may be. Or I think all of you probably like the Modoc Braves. And you've probably gone to a game or two. Some of you have gone to all of them. Maybe your participation is limited to TV watching, like mine, mostly. I've often said I could live on news and sports. If that's all I had on the TV, I'd be happy. Well, I happen to live with people that don't agree with me. And they like everything else but news and sports. Well, anyway, back when we lived back in Illinois, I watched the six Chicago Bulls championships. And my wife stood by me in spite of my hoots and hollers. She stood by me. Of course, she stood in the next room with the door closed. And usually if there was a TV in there, of course, it was tuned to something else that I wasn't interested in. But I shouted. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with showing your support for your team. And those players out there in the field, why, they feed off of that. Curtis, you know that. You were a football player, weren't you? Yeah, you look like you could still play.
Real short time.
On a good day. But I know you got that mentality, team spirit. And, you know, they need that. They need to hear those cheers and those shouts. And not only do they need to hear it, but it helps us. There's a release that comes. Have you ever been someplace where you didn't care what anybody thought? You were going to act like a fool anyway. And so you just kind of let it all out. And you just shouted it out. You didn't care if you spit. And who was in front of you? Now, we might want to be a little more polite than that. But I think we ought to let it show. We ought to let our joy in the Lord show. When we're thankful, we ought to express it. With shouting, with seeking, with singing, with shouting. But also, we live thanks by being a thankful people. And if you'll look there at verses 7 and through to the end of the chapter there, we didn't read all that, but we're going to look there at verse 7, where it says, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. There's a profession here. Well, first of all, a prostration. It says just before that, actually going back to verse 6 there, Come, let us bow down in worship. A prostration. That's not a disease, of course, but you know what prostration is. That's where you bow. In China and Asian countries, I believe, they have this practice of bowing. Or I don't know whether they still do that. But they show great respect by doing that. And we ought to bow before the Lord. We ought to kneel in worship before Him. I've known Christians who've gotten down on their faces. I know we might think, well, you know, we don't want to become holy rollers. So we're kind of afraid of that. But we certainly ought to show that we love the Lord and are not ashamed of Him and that we're bowing before Him in worship and in adoration, prostration. We show how to be a thankful people by prostration, but also by profession. Here it says, For He is our God. He is our God. We claim Him by faith. Some of you are parents. Sometimes your kids will do something that just make you so proud, you'll brag to anyone about them. That's my boy. That's my girl. Of course, there may be some times that you hope nobody knows they belong to you. Like we used to do when we took our kids to the store. You know, we'd pack them all up. We had four at one time. And occasionally, we'd be real bold. And we'd say, well, let's just go. Let's just all go to Walmart or someplace. And, you know, invariably one of them would just do something horribly embarrassing. You know, they would just embarrass us. We had one boy that, you know, I've often said we had three that we couldn't get to talk and one that we couldn't get to shut up. Well, that one boy, he would just embarrass the daylights out of us. You know, we're kind of reserved people. And, you know, we would hope, well, let's just ignore him and maybe nobody will know he belongs to us. You've done that, I can tell. But there are other times, you know, we're just so proud. And we ought to be proud of the Lord. We ought to claim Him. We ought to brag of Him to others. He's our God. You ought to know Him. He's a wonderful God. And He belongs to us. So there's a profession here. There's also a possession. Here it says, We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. We belong to Him. And that sense of belonging is so important in our lives. That's why I covet that for everyone. If you don't know that you belong to Him, there's many verses in the Bible, but I like John 1:11 that says, As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. And He wants you to belong to Him. But then there's also a progression. In the remainder of the chapter there, it's kind of depressing. I think maybe that's why I didn't read it or have Curtis read it. But It says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah. Now, that refers back to the time that the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. I'm sure you remember how God delivered them out of Egypt and how they went into the Sinai Desert. And, of course, we believe that it was God's will to lead them right into the Promised Land. But they didn't obey God. They didn't believe that God was going to do good things for them. So they began to complain. And they began to test the Lord and try him. God says, even though you saw what I did. And he says, for 40 years I was angry with that generation and said, there are people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Well, I think it was because they were not progressing. They had begun well. They had, I'm sure they knew that God delivered them out of Egypt. I think probably most of them knew God personally. But they were content to just wander around out in the desert there and never really get to the Promised Land. They wouldn't take God at his word. And when Joshua and the spies went out, and Caleb and the other 10 went out to spy out the land, and you may remember the 10 came back with a negative report. Of course, that was against what God had already promised them. But two, Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, let's go. We are well able with God to possess the land. But they wouldn't do it. You know, I think they were kind of like that Christian that likes to start the day with prune juice and likes to, you know, complain and wonder, well, why isn't God doing better, more things for me? Why am I the only one that's suffering and having all of these problems? And I know sometimes there are some dear saints that just seem like God has perhaps entrusted to them more pain and suffering. But generally those that God has trusted are the ones that he knows he can trust. And like Fanny Crosby, my favorite hymn writer, who was born blind, yet her hymns still speak to us today of their joy, their exuberance, and a love for Jesus. I just want to challenge us to be thanks-living people. May God help us to just apply the psalm here, the verses of this psalm to our lives, to have that thankful purpose and to do a thankful practice and to be a thankful people.